Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, this is Dennis C. Latham,
And I'm waiting on Dr. Pastor Kenny Glasgow to call in so he can run today's broadcast. I got to go out to a city council meeting where all of the people running for city council in Montgomery, Alabama, are supposed to be meeting tonight at Connection Life Center, which is a center where I think they made me the building and property manager, something like that. I don't know. I just do what I'm supposed to do. If I see something need done, I get it done. So, but anyway, I got to go to that tonight. Got to be leaving here in about 25 minutes or so. This is Tops Live Radio Broadcast, TOPS, The Ordinary People Society. Check them out at www.theordinarypeoplesociety.org. And if you're interested in becoming a member, it's $30 a year. And if you are incarcerated, it is free. By signing up, you'll get special notices of what's going on with TOPS, information on marches, protests, and rallies, and investigations, and things that Dr. Glasgow and TOPS are working on, and different things of that nature. All right, I'm going to play a little song by Troy Sneed. Matter of fact, I think I want to play something else. I'm a Soldier by Amy Russell. Be back in 4 minutes and 14 seconds.
Touch.
right, welcome back to Tops Live Radio Broadcast, and I am going to bring the CEO and founder, Dr. Pastor Kenny Glasgow, to the platform. This is a broadcast and not a show. But anyway, here is Dr. Pastor Kenny Glasgow. Dr. Glasgow,
how you doing?
What's happening?
All right, how you doing?
Well,
so
always
smile if you open. I'm on that 334-648. That's me also. If you can, open up that line, and I'll cut off the other one.
It's open.
All right, thank you so much. Yeah. So I'm waiting on people to call. You'll see an 863-412 number that's going to call in, and I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a busy schedule to come on tonight and open up all the lines for me before you go to your affair. And but I want to hear about your affair tonight. What do y'all be doing?
Well, all of the people running for city council are going to be at a at the Connection Life, where I'm building a property manager. And I've been asked to attend so I can scope out what the candidates have to say so they can get my decision on who's legit and who's not.
Well, you know, it's kind of strange to me. Dennis here, as it was about a year or two ago, it's strange, but yet and still it's very inspiring to hear that a year or two ago, people were, about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, you had a guy that was trying to assassinate your character, said all kind of manners of evil and stuff against you like they attacking me now. And, you know, didn't nobody want to hear nothing that you had to say, tried to pass you off, acting like you were crazy, this and that and the other. And now, the whole city of Montgomery and Prattville are basically coming to you and asking for your opinion and your advice. And I go as far as to say almost your approval on different things in the city council and how to get the police and interactive with the community and all that. I mean, you know, I would love for you to give us a testimony before we go into our show later on tonight and you have to leave. What changed that? What made them go from thinking that you was just a wild, rebellious type person out there, even though people tried to blaspheme your name and assassinate your character, to them knowing and even asking now for your advice and approval on things? What changed that?
Divine intervention, because I chose to live the scriptures while those who yelled, "I'm a Christian," did nothing but live in sin, tell lies, make up lies, and I chose to live in Christ and stand on the truth. And I can say my last two court dates, when the preacher falsely accused me of calling him and threatening him and his family, I proved that never happened. I won that in court without an attorney because my attorney, Mark Overall, at the time, was suspended from practicing law. And just recently, I got a ticket driving 68 in a 45. The day I had to go to court, I uploaded a video of me going down that same intersection the same way as I did with that state trooper. And this one showed a Millbrook police officer passing by on the other side, going the other direction, and he didn't bother me because I wasn't speeding, but the state trooper refused to show up. They stalled around for 30 minutes, but I went there without an attorney and walked out of there innocent. But, you know, and also divine intervention got a crooked district attorney, Ellen Brooks, out of office. Divine intervention got Sheriff D.T. Marshall, which started this, and I thank him. I thank D.T. Marshall for the illegal breaking of my house over 14 years ago, where I never saw the search warrant. Nothing was ever found. So I thank him for that, because he's the one who got this all started off for me standing up for
Now I'm going to have to interrupt you right there. You are thanking the man that attacked you. Now, you know, I know
that's
what the scriptures say about that, and You know, in Matthew 5 and 10, 11 and 12, it says, consider, you know, be glad and exceedingly glad, you know, when you get reviled and lied on and persecuted and talked about for my name's sake. I know the scriptures very well, but you thanking him, you know, you thanking him for attacking you because that brought on the validity that you have now.
Yes, because he's the one who started off that telling people that I had problems, and they led that to believe I was on medication or whatever, which, you know, that's never been proven.
Yeah.
I thank him because, you know, he did wrong. The city upheld him, and for 14 years I was harassed by police. And, you know, now I'm working with the police. Well, I was working with the police department until that police chief, Kevin Murphy, was released or fired or whatever they call it. But now he is the second man down under the sheriff. And the new sheriff is Sheriff Derek Cunningham, who
okay,
is somebody.
Hold on right there.
All right.
You're talking about Chief Murphy that was over there in Montgomery, Alabama?
The same one that gave his badge to Representative John Lewis, and said he was sorry for what happened to him because nobody else ever said they were sorry.
Wow. You're talking about the same one that watched that march side by side with me when we did the anniversary last year in Montgomery for the Trayvon Martin march and had about 600 people with us. That man walked side by side with me. I got pictures on Facebook with this man, and I wondered whatever happened to him. Because no one wanted to go to bat, and it seemed like none of us, you know, went to fight for him when they fired. Because we know the only reason that they fired him or terminated him or whatever they tried to do was because he gave his badge to John Lewis and apologized for what white folks had done. That's the only reason they went against that man.
Well, there was one more reason besides that, also, that he was making great grounds with connecting the community with my skin color and our skin color with the police. He was making great grounds
right.
and steps
That's right.
towards that. So you know, he had to start somewhere, and he started with John Lewis. And, you know, any time a racist or a right-winger, put it this way, a racist or a right-winger ain't going to apologize because they believe in what they believe in. Even if they do you wrong, they feel like they believe they did right. Because they hate you. So they hated him, and now he is the next, he's right up under the sheriff. So he's the deputy
wow.
sheriff.
Well, I would love
and
to
I'm,
see you tell him, Pastor Glasgow, next time you see him, you tell him, Pastor Kenny Glasgow, shout out to his brother, say hey and thank you, and tell him I love him, man. And if there's anything that I can do for him, let me know.
I'll be seeing him next week sometime, and I'll certainly tell him. You got a host of callers. I got about 7 minutes.
All right. Well, go ahead and turn off all the mics. I'm going to ask all of you to mute your phones except for Ms. Deborah Thompson. Now, Deb, before you go, Dennis, you're going to have a host of questions. I know you got 7 minutes, so I'm going to have it up. Ms. Deborah Thompson is the lady. She's a civil rights icon. Icon down there in Winter Haven, Florida, Miami, and South Florida. She's known all over. She's been had the Metro News newspaper, Metro News newspaper, for about 24 years. She kept it down there in Florida mostly, but now she's teamed up with us to take it national. And she's going to be pushing and promoting any and all stories that we give her. I wanted you and her to meet each other via the radio tonight. Before you go, she's coming to us now, speaking about her grandson, Kevin Key, K-E-Y, hyphen, Sherrington, H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. That's in Florida Department of Corrections. He has pancreas cancer, and the Department of Corrections down there, Dennis, asked for his release. But the parole board won't give it to him. If you open up her mic, the 863-412 will be her mic. Open up all of them, but she is the only one to be speaking right now. Everybody else, please mute your phones. And Dennis C. Latham, Tops Radio, this is Ms. Deborah T. Thompson Ingram. Ms. Deborah, how you doing?
Wonderful. What about you, sir?
All right, all right. So before Dennis leaves, I want him to talk
what
to you,
about
because
you,
Dennis
sir?
Is the one that pretty much runs the radio show. And Dennis has done such a great job when it comes to research and investigations and all that, and he's won his cases by himself with no lawyer. He got a lawyer now, and Dennis, I'll be able to tell you more about that later. A lawyer, you got two of them, as a matter of fact. One is named Adrian Critton, and the other one is going to be Eric Hutchins. I could go ahead and announce them that are very interested in your case and helping you pro bono. Pro bono, Dennis. And so, Ms. Deborah, Dennis, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
And let's find out what we can do to help.
Okay, sir. Praise God for the brother that's on there, that God has given him the knowledge to do those things himself. And then when God blesses him, then he's going to bless all of us with helping us with what we need to do. But I'm coming to you because Polk County has a big problem. We have a widespread problem down here with our judicial system. My concern is now that my grandson and myself and his mother, the three of us, were thrown in jail because a guy wanted to extort money from me. So he told allowing my daughter and her son and come to me for $10,000. He eventually upped it to $20,000. I called the police, the sheriff, and told them what had happened. They didn't believe me. Instead, they got him. When they went there to him, they found that he had methamphetamine, paraphernalia, and all this type of stuff. So they took him to jail. And after they took him to jail, they asked him to be their informant. Well, it was all about the newspaper because I had just done stories on the judge there, no black judges, and then the sheriff's department, no black detectives. After I'd done that, then I was really under the gun for the county sheriff's department. So what they'd done, I went to a story. When I went to that story that morning, they said that I threatened a witness, okay? And then they arrested me. Falsely arrested me for, they said that I threatened a witness, tampering with the witness, and illegal wiretaping. Okay? The guy who my attorney was, do I mention who the attorney was? At the time, my attorney was Jose Baez. Okay, Mr. Baez took the case. He went and talked to the guy. Three different times. Each time there was a different lie that he told. I never seen the guy before in my life. And this particular day, this guy came up to my place of business, passed right by me. I didn't know who he was, and he didn't know who he was. He went into my barbershop and told the guy here, say, y'all can keep this place right now. Y'all can do what y'all doing now. I keep paying her, but you're going to be paying me afterwards because I'm going to be owning this whole plaza. That's what he told the people. Make a long story short, they arrested me, illegally arrested me. I got out. His statements were all impeached, everything, because he lied. He did not even know me. What I'm trying to tell you is they placed my grandson and his mother in jail, and that's her only son. She lost her mind in there because of this hardship of what they'd done to her mother and her son and herself. Her son went on to say, he took the plea bargain and said, Grandma, you get a lawyer. I'll just go. Because these people are being nasty, it's going to cost you too much money. I did. He went on, took a plea bargain. Now he's there. He's signed up. He's got pancreatic cancer. They doing nothing. They threw him in a corner in a room for 6 days with no water, no insurance, no nothing for him. When they found him, his blood pressure was 50 over 30. He was unconscious. He was dehydrated. They rushed him to the Jacksonville Hospital. I was in Detroit, Michigan at a Baptist convention. I drove all night and all day to get to Jacksonville to get to my grandson. By that time, he was conscious, and he asked me where was he at. I told him hospital. I asked him what happened. He says, Grandma, they put me in this room with no running water. He says, my insurer, I told the guy to give me some ice, and he said, oh, you are refusing it. And I said, no, please, sir, don't take it. It's just hard for me to drink. It's so thick. Please give me some ice. They took his insurer and his water. He had no water in there, in that room. Okay, and they brought him back. They put in for another medical release. When they put in for a conditional medical release, Lake Butler, the state here, the district attorney sent somebody from the state attorney's office there to tell them to don't let him out because the guy was afraid of him. How can that guy be afraid of him and I'm the one out when he said I threatened him as well? My grandson took a plea bargain and went on. None of this was proven to be true. So now they stopped the conditional medical release because of that, and he is very, very ill.
Mm.
And I think I have some followers on it.
Brother Dennis, are you still there?
I'm here for about one more minute.
Okay, I want you to go ahead and talk to Ms. Thompson before we go. Because Brother Dennis will tell you, we worked on the geriatric bill in Alabama, and it's supposed to exceed it across the country. However, you got a lot of people that are incarcerated that are sick and need to be going out. Go ahead, Brother Dennis.
Yeah, well, it's just sad that I gotta bring this up before I go. Put it this way. It's sad that people will come together to loot, or they'll come together to riot, or they'll come together to block traffic, and neither of them get anything done. It just gets the enemy paid more money. So I just don't see why we can't come together to start building those things of righteousness. And as far as the bills being passed, hey, the Affordable Care Act was passed, but you got states who Republican states who went against it, and so they doctored up some stuff for their own constitution to block it. And so people making $12,000 or less and can't even get on it. And they have to pay more than people that are making over $12,000 a year. Just like with the thing you're talking about, the geriatrics. You know what? The states who don't want it ain't gonna have it. And they doctor up their own state constitution to block it. I mean, bottom line is, you got an enemy that hates your guts. I just don't see begging them to love me. I'm not gonna ask somebody to love me who hates me. I ain't going to ask them, and I ain't going to beg them. But I will love them with the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm done.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. Brother Dennis, before you go, if you'll open up all the lines, and I'm going to ask all of you, mute your phones until you get ready to talk. Brother Dennis will be gone off the board, so I'm going to ask you to have the radio courtesy of muting your own phone and then unmuting it whenever you get ready to talk. And as me and Ms. Deborah continue with the conversation. Dennis, I really want to thank you, man. I really thank God for all the work you've done. Thank you for holding down Tops Radio for the past 3 years, going on 4 years. You know it's been going on 4 years you've been doing this radio. And I just want to thank you for that. And I know that with us and Deborah Thompson and Metro News Radio, we will be able to get a lot of things done. A lot of things done. Dennis is one of the people, Miss Deborah, that's going to give a lot of information to us that's happening across the country. Not only is he pushing it out on Facebook, but now having a newspaper that he could put it out on and put out his own stories and editorials and all would be great so we could get some national attention to what's happening right here in Alabama. Actually, we was just talking before you got on, he's working with the officers up there in Montgomery that actually gave his badge to John Lewis and apologized for what his foreparents did in slavery, Mr. Murphy. So we'll be talking about that. Brother Dennis, God bless you, man, and thank you so much. Anything else before you go?
That's it. I'm up out of here.
All right. God bless you, bro. Open up all the mics. I'm going to ask all of you again to mute your phones until you get ready to talk. When you get ready to talk, just unmute your phone and come on in, and we'll let you on in. This is a free talk, a freelance session tonight. We're talking about Kevin Key-Harrington, HERRINGTON. Now, Ms. Deborah, so here's the dilemma. So, and I've been doing a little bit of investigation. And you know I'm very busy, but I did try to investigate a little bit. So the parole board is trying to say that he's a threat to society, or they wouldn't let him out and all that. Now, here's my problem. I have two problems with this, and I hate Dennis had to leave because Dennis will eat this up. One problem is that they just let a murderer out that was a white guy. Now, I understand we're not going to make it racial and all that, but we just got to face the truth around here sometimes. White people get less charges, less sentences, and more leniency than black folks. And let's just be honest. We're dealing with a racially embedded system. And that, you know, there's no way around it when you look at the stats and the statistics, when you look at the sentencing disparities, when you look at the bail disparities on how much the bail bonds is and all, when you look at the arrest, you know, even the misdemeanor arrest of disturbing the peace, domestic violence, if you look at it on the black and white ratio, you're going to be very, very surprised. When you look at people in prison, right, black folks are only 26% to 30% of the population, but yet there's 68% to 72% in the prison population. When you look at it from that standpoint, you can't deny that it's a racially based system. You can't deny it. We're only one-third of the economy, one-third of the population, one-third of the criminal justice system, but yet we go to prison and we become three-fourths. Hello, somebody. Now, when we look at that, Ms. Deborah, and I know you're trying to be nice and modest and all that. I can't be that tonight. Now, you know, the other day you called me, I was trying to be nice. And I can't be that no more. Because when I did my little investigation about your grandson, and then I did another investigation about his history. Now, I'm going to say this for all those naysayers out there that want to talk and talk about me and all. I did 14 years in prison. I got 14 drug charges, two armed robberies, two attempted murders, and three burglaries. Wasn't supposed to never get out. That's what I got. We talking about me. I'm not talking about nobody else. Mm-hmm. And I never got no life without. Do anybody hear me out there? I got out of the system, the same system in Florida. I did my time, most of my time in 14 years, 10 of those years was at Polk CI, right there in Florida. Oh, you didn't know that, did you, Ms. Deborah? Right, I went through Lake Butler. I was right there at Orlando, 33rd, County Jail, right there for some months before I went to prison. But I have yet to hear of anyone that is convicted of a crime that your grandson is convicted of. They got that much time as he got. That's first of all. Second of all, I always brag about Florida Department of Correction. Because when I was there, they had the GED program, they had the life skill, they had all kind of skill program. I went through the bridge in Orlando, and I got out because, you know, in Orlando, in Florida, you know, those of you who are listening from Alabama and other states, when Florida, when you get ready to get out, if you're going to be 5 years or more, they try to take you through transitioning first. And, you know, and I bragged about Florida Department of Correction. So I investigated so I could see what's the difference in the Department of Corrections in Florida now with Secretary McDaniels and all that was there compared to when you know Governor Christie was over there compared to now. And the Florida Department of Corrections still has some of those programs. However, what the difference seems to be to me, and I want all of you from Florida and that's on the line, y'all can tune in, unmute your phone, everything, because I know y'all ready to talk now. I'm finna hype you up tonight because we got to get this bomb lit. I found out that the parole board and the governor that y'all have, the new secretary of the Department of Corrections that y'all have, might be the problem. I know the governor is. Now, that's emphatically. Because the Department of Corrections, and tell me if I'm wrong, Ms. Deborah, made a recommendation and request for Kevin T. Harrington to be released on medical release conditions. Am I correct?
That's correct.
So why, if the Department of Correction, who is over the security and the care, custody, and control of people incarcerated for felony conviction, why is a parole board that consists of maybe 3 to 7 people that have no accountability to anybody, why would they override what the Department of Correction whose job and mission is to get people corrected, to get people to a point to where they can become productive citizens out of their unproductivity, why would a parole board that has no dealings with a person that have a felony conviction, no dealings with a person's transformation, no dealings with a person's medical illnesses, no dealings with the person's family, their conditions, their transition, or anything else, how could they override the people who deal with the people that got felony convictions and that they're housing?
Because the state attorney is in cahoots, and they call and come up and stand up in front of them and tell them don't let them out. Really, they have no business doing that. Once they've been convicted of something or whatever, then they're not even supposed to come in. There is a law against that. I have to check the case to make sure, but there is a law that I was told that's against them doing that.
We're going to have to sign that law, Ms. Debbie. We're going to have to go to Tallahassee. I've looked at, again, I don't know if Auntie is on here. Auntie, if you're on here, then send me all the emails. And I looked at those letters, I might add, were written so superb. If you don't mind, Ms. Deborah, if Auntie's not there, Auntie, if you're there, unmute your phone and come on.
I'm here, Auntie is definitely here.
Okay, well, go on and tell them who all you have sent letters to.
Actually, I sent letters to our Attorney General in Florida, our Secretary of State of Florida, our Director of Health Services in Florida. I've actually sent letters to Loretta Lynch, and as of yesterday, I sent a letter to President Obama.
Now, President Obama, go ahead, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
I would say that at this point, all I want is justice for my nephew. He has not murdered anyone. It is important that he comes home and spend his last days with dignity. And I don't know who else to turn to. I've reached out to every last one of these people, and not one have returned any kind of communication back to me to say, hey, I have received your email. You know, at this point, there's nothing I can do. I mean, no one has had the decency to even email me back and say, you know, I care about your concerns. So I'm trying to find out how do we have these people in these positions who are only for who they need to be for and not for all people. I know that our governor, I had nothing to do with him being in office at all. I know that his job is to privatize the correction centers, and that's why the Department of Health in the Department of Correction is privatized, because he's getting the kickback from it. I don't care what anybody say. I believe
his wife is part of the Corizon. You have to check it to be sure. But his wife is part of the Corizon that they have into all the prison Corizon Health Services. His wife is part owner. But
okay.
We need to check that to make sure.
So you're trying to tell me, okay, now, Ms. Deborah, hold on. Let's make sure we get this straight. So you're trying to tell me that the same, now, you know, we went up against Governor Rick Scott. We found out when he tried to do the drug testing against everybody on TANF and everybody on food stamps, he wanted to test them all, test everybody, and spend millions and millions of dollars to drug test everybody. And we found out that one of the main reasons he wanted to spend all that money up in the state of Florida to test everybody was because his wife was the owner of the drug testing company.
Hey,
okay, so now you're beginning to tell me that there's some money or there's some stock that is owned by legislators and those in the governmental hierarchy with private prison. Now, it's not surprising to me. I just want to make sure that the audience that's listening knows exactly. And by the way, we got 102 people that are listening right now. You got about 17 on phone lines. That are not on the line with us. You got 16 that are on the phone with us, and then the rest of them are on the computer listening right now all over the country. A lot of people from Atlanta are listening right now, a lot of people from Florida and up there in Baltimore and New York, and for some
what about Cincinnati?
Reason, We got Cincinnati. A person from Cincinnati. I was just finna say that. From some unknown reason, we got Cincinnati, Ohio, up in the house. So that must be your doing. But let me say this. So, you know, one thing that people don't realize is that a lot of your legislators, and I would advise people to start really, really investigating and researching the legislators that you have. It's coming up 2015, 2016 federal elections for the president. There's a lot of stuff that's going to come out. Y'all need to pay attention to the .online.com. The .online.com. It will be transforming into metronews.com. It will be transforming into metronews.com soon as Ms. Deborah gets the word. She gets the word now, it'll change tomorrow. I'm telling y'all what's going to happen. And pay attention because we will be doing report cards, researches, and opponent research on each and every one of the legislators in the 11th district, and that consists of Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. For those of you that's not familiar with Pastor Kenneth Sharp in Glasgow, you will be sooner or later. You better ask somebody, and they'll tell you to ask somebody else because I get attacked all the time. And the reason I get attacked all the time is because of what? I have become so valid in what's happening with some of these elections by those who they tried to keep out of the polls. But let me say this.
Mr. Sharpton, if the young lady's on
there
from Cincinnati, she's a big activist there. She's always on TV and everything. She does not shut her mouth. She find murderers. She do everything. I don't know if she's on this. Peggy Harris on there? Maybe she's not on.
Peggy Harris, are you on Top Radio? I knew you seen a number from Cincinnati, so is that you, Ms. Harris? Is that you, Ms. Peggy? Go ahead, Ms. Peggy Harris. We can't hardly hear you, but go ahead. I think she's just listening. Okay, but what we got, so what I was saying is that a lot of the legislators own stock in the prison. A lot of us don't realize that. While we're sitting there going to them for them to pass bills and help us and all that, they got stock in these prisons. Stock. They are sitting here, you know, capitalizing and getting paid for our children that are being incarcerated. And yet we vote for them. You know, two things that I have done and always said that really gets to me, I'm going to say this, and then I want you to come back and tell Ms. Deborah and you too, Auntie, and whoever else would like to speak. The lines are open. Just unmute your phone and come on and tell. Things I said that we always have done. We will vote for legislators that got stock in locking up our children, and we will pay for the assassins of our children when we pay the salaries of these police. Now, if we vote for people to lock our children up and make laws to lock them up, and then we pay the salaries of our assassins, that means we need to do something different. Go ahead, Ms. Deborah, talk to me today.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't vote for any of these people that's in there now. I didn't vote for any of them, none of them. But unfortunately, they wanted and they got them in because they had their certain people, and that is the way they do. That is what happens.
Well, Auntie, let's go back to Auntie for a minute. Auntie, I need you to tell me this. So have you received any answers or responses from any of those people you sent letters to?
What's her name, Professor Key?
Professor Key?
She may be with her students. She's listening on the radio, but she's with her class. She's giving a test tonight.
Well, maybe she get ready. Is that the doctor that I met down there?
Dr. Key. She'll soon be Dr. Key, yes.
Right, the one that I met down there when we went to court that day?
Yes, sir. There should be another one on there, too.
So the other thing that I did, Ms. Deborah, in my research, my little bit of research, just a little bit, is I studied the man that y'all had told me that had got out. I wanted to find out why the guy had committed murder. I wanted to find out why he got out, this man, and the other. And we're not going to discuss it online, but there are some variables that we need to look at. One is he was white. We got to look at that. The second thing we need to look at, he was a murderer. We got to look at the extenuating circumstances of what's going on. And as we look at that, there is no reason why this man was released for medical conditional release and your grandson, Kevin Key Harrington, could not be released. And that's one of the things that I want to make sure that they couldn't come up with some kind of reasoning as to why they allowed him to be released on medical conditions, but for your grandson, Kevin, to not be released. And when I investigated and looked at it in my little bit of research, I did not see any reasons why not. So that is going to be one
personal,
of the biggest
I think things. It's a personal vendetta. Number one, the attorney, the district attorney here and the sheriff here does not like Mr. Baez. They've had big fights on TV. That's number one. Number two, me owning the newspaper and can print all of this stuff, and I investigated this stuff and brought it to light, that makes it even worse for him. But I don't want them taking anything out on my children. I want them to take it out on my grandkids. I want them to take it out on me. And they did by trying to give me two life sentences, and they were all thrown out simply because they found out the boy lied.
Okay, so let's paint the picture for the audience, so the audience know what we're dealing with and why you feel like it's retaliation. If you don't mind, and I know you're very modest and don't want to toot your own horn, but I have to ask you because I need you to let the audience know who you are. Tell us some of the things that you have done and accomplished, Ms. Deborah, since you have been down there and been active as a civil rights advocate.
Oh, I've accomplished too many to even talk about. As far as that go, but some of the things that I do in the community, would you like to hear some of that? But I wouldn't want to put some of the my personal accomplishments I can tell them about. I taught school 22 years. I'm an ex-police officer, which is not wouldn't be good with them. I am the first female firefighter that we had here for the city of Water Haven, red, white, black, blue, or green, and has not been given credit for that yet. They gave it to someone else and its records. Also, I was the first female police officer for Lake Hamilton Police Department here in Florida, and I was not given credit for that as well. So I've done that. I'm a certified bomb detonator. I'm a cosmetologist. I'm a counselor. I'm an editor of the newspaper and publisher of a newspaper, and there's a lot of things that I do. I am also an entrepreneur, have my own business here in Winter Haven. Not to mention the other things that I do. I walk for the Trayvon Martin. We had 672 followers here. I did to follow me, and the NAACP only had 75. But myself, I had 672. I give book bags away every year for the kids in school. I feed the homeless, the whole neighborhood, every year on January 1st, on New Year's Day. And also I give toys around the community and churches and whomever for kids during Christmas time. Now, all of this is not money raised by anyone. It's my personal money. And I also put in the newspaper every printing that we will not do violence. We're trying to stop the kids from having violence in the neighborhood. And that page is put in, donated from me. And that's a $2,200 page. So I'm just letting you know that I am against crime and I am for order. And that's what I've been praying for. But for them to arrest me, you know that by them arresting me, I'm not that kind of person, because even some of the attorneys, ex-district attorney, how can you say that she's creating violence when she's spending money every publication to say, let's stop the violence? And that was a good, legitimate point. So if anybody else want to speak on that.
Well, let me ask some of the audience. Is there anybody else that want to speak on that? Please open up your mic and speak. This is the time to go ahead and say what you want to say. We have to show the support that we have for Kevin Key Harrington. So come on, open up your mics and come on in. And welcome to Tops Radio. Hello, somebody. Don't everybody speak in one time now.
They're just listening. They must be afraid, Dick, because I know someone's on there now.
Well, a lot of them. Shonda, yeah,
Shonda, you on there? Dee Dee, you on the phone, on there?
There's a lot of them on here, but they I think they're a little shy right now.
I guess, and Beverly, is Beverly on there?
They're a little shy right now, Miss Deborah. I think they're a little shy. But what we need to look at, what we need to look at is what is going on as far as getting your grandson out. What we're going to be doing is doing some, we're going to be doing some rallies. We're going to be doing some more letters. The letters seem to not be getting answered or anything like that. So we need to find out exactly why none of this is being answered and all. And what we need to find out is why. You know, no one is responding. No one is responding to us. And what we're starting to see is that people taking it for a joke. So we're going to have to put it in their face. So the newspapers.
Hey, Mr. Shopton, excuse me. Mr. Shopton, excuse me. Something is going wrong. She just called me and told me they've been trying to speak, and they said they can't speak. So all of them is on the line. They just can't.
Oh,
can't
my God. All of them is on the line, and we have no way to open up their mics. Hold on. So let's see if we get on this line and try to open up these mics. That's what we're going to have to try to do. All right, but you go ahead. So tell me this. Tell us about the case and all that while I'm trying to open up these mics for you, Ms. Deborah.
Well, the case is, the case actually is all about, I think the case is all about me. It was to shut up the Metro newspaper. I think that's what it was all about. So that was their way of getting at my grandson and my daughter. But I think that's what it's all about, to shut up Metro paper, because they sent 13 people to me to buy the newspaper for $1.5 million. And when I agreed to it, they wanted me to run the paper. And I told them that if I was going to sell the paper, there was no way that I was going to run the paper. And that was what they wanted. And that was what stopped the contract, only because they wanted me to continue running because of my experience and the people that I knew and the influence that I had to offer. So,
who wanted you
to
sell the paper? Who are you saying? Some of the people in the government or who?
They were 13 people. I don't know who all they were, but I got an idea as to where they came from. But it was 13 people. It was 13 people, and they were all Caucasian people, and they met with me at the Olive Garden, and they asked me about buying the newspaper. But they wanted me to continue running. And after I told them I wouldn't continue running, then that was when they didn't want to do the deal. But that was to shut me up. If they would have bought the newspaper, then they could have controlled it and told me what to write in it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they wanted to do.
That's what they wanted
to
do.
So they couldn't shut you up.
If they would have taken over the newspaper, then they could have. They still wouldn't have been. They would have been able to control me to tell me what to write and what not to write.
Exactly.
And I refused to do that.
Mm-hmm. So that's where the retaliation comes from.
Yes.
Now, you've been in media for how long?
24 years.
Okay, and in your experience with media, do it seem to you like the media is what really controls the black neighborhood?
Yes, sir, because they won't even do, if you call them and tell them you want to do something about the sheriff, say something about the sheriff or the state attorney office or something like that, they won't even take the story. They won't take the story. They won't even take it and put it in the paper. So we don't have no voice. If they didn't have Metro, they wouldn't have it, because the preachers here, the ministers here, they won't go out. The NAACP here in Winter Haven, they won't go and do anything. I even mentioned it to the NAACP president. He told me, say, well, I'm gonna try to call and get a call into him and see can I talk to him. And I called one lawyer here. He told me, well, me and him is not like that for you to call the NAACP president, him and Jerry Hill are friends. And I called him and told him to call. He has not got back with me yet because he don't even have any pool. You don't have anybody in this town with respect for but one person. That's Mr. John Ruffin is the only person other than me. Other than me, I'm the only person that will speak up here and they'll listen to, and John Ruffin. John Ruffin can go down and, well, now they won't listen at me because it's what? It's my case. But everyone else, they've always listened to me. Always. I can go in and talk to any of them and have no problem. But this, they won't because why? They want the paper to shut up. They want me to shut up. So they figure they can do this, which they've caused a lot of injury to me, a lot of injury. As far as medically, I have lost pounds. My blood pressure has gone up. My medication has increased. I've been stressed. My kids can tell you that. Totally stressed and has not been the same person from that day, simply because they painted me as a person whom I was not. And that was very detrimental to me because my character means a lot to me. I'm 68 years old, and surely I want my last going out, my legacy, to not be burned by the Polk County Sheriff Department.
Right, right, of course. Yeah, I'm trying my best to get them logged in because, you know, I'm on the road trying to stop. So I could go on this pad and try to do it. Dennis tried to open them up before he left, and he usually runs the board, but I'm going to try to do it mobily. So just pray because that's what I'm trying to do.
I don't think I don't think they're on yet.
Well, we're trying
They probably still hear us, but we can't hear them.
Oh yeah, that's correct. That's exactly.
Yeah, because they just sent me a text telling me that they're all on there. So however many is on there, they're on. Can't talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna get them on in a few minutes. Just tell them to bear with me. But the other thing that I wanted to look at. So what happened with your daughter? What are they doing with your daughter? How is that going?
Nothing since that day that you were there. And there's another DN say she's on. I don't know if she can hear it or not, though. But she just sent me a message to let me know that she was on, too. They're not doing anything with her since the day that you were there, and they decided that they wanted to postpone it, her hearing and everything. But the judge told him to go and bring the information back in 7 days. Well, she was unable to get 7 days for the doctor to see her, but they have seen her over a month ago now, and he hasn't gotten her back in court. So I've been calling him every week to call me. He has not returned the call. They are all afraid of this man down here. You'll have to get lawyers from somewhere else.
Wow. Since you had him, you haven't had any other lawyers that have stepped up or tried to help or anything else?
Oh, no, they wouldn't do that, not here. Unless you paying them money, want to do it. I paid 3 different lawyers. The lawyer that I have for her now is the 3rd lawyer that I've paid for her, the 3rd one. The 3rd lawyer. All they do is take your money, and do nothing, ride it out. She's been there now over 2.5 years.
Okay.
Over
2.5 years. So we got your number. We got 111 that's listening. So I'm opening up all the mics. You can tell them that I'm opening them up the mics as we go so they'll be able to speak. And I got that 111, somebody spying on us. They can go ahead and be listening. We don't care. Go ahead. We're going to open up their mic too. Let them go on and spy on us. And tell all of them their mics are on. Okay, so they can come on and speak to us now.
Professor Key, you on there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Professor Key is there, yes. Okay, and all the mics are on. So, Professor Key, tell us what you would like to say and let the audience hear you as far as what you would like to say pertaining to your nephew.
I would like to see that the Parole Commission will have compassion and let my nephew out. That's all I want. I mean, that's not asking too much. He hasn't murdered anybody. They have let murderers out in the past, and I just don't understand why they have such a stronghold on him and don't want to let him out. I just for the life of me, I don't understand. I know it's tied to a lot of different things, but at this point, you know, they even brought up his criminal case. His criminal case, but his criminal case doesn't have anything to do with his medical case right now.
That's right.
So at this point, I just want them to actually release him into the custody of his family so that we can help take care of him.
That's right. That's right. And you have
and
some more people that are on this, Deborah.
I emailed everybody. And I don't care. It is common courtesy to respond to an email. I don't care who you are. It is common courtesy.
You know, that's one of the things,
everybody.
Professor Keith, that's one of the things that I have a real, real problem with. My problem is that when we send these requests or emails or anything to these governmental agencies or whatever, I don't care who they are, and they don't respond. You know, there's a law out there about the Open Records Act, and there's public information. They, you know, these are people that are getting paid by us taxpayers. You yourself, Professor Key, are a very good taxpayer and an educator. And they don't even respond. It's really like insulting for somebody that worked for you to not respond to your request. These are public servants. And I think
I did write a lady all the way in Washington called the Washington Law, who is a prisoner advocate. And you know what? She did email me back. And
okay.
She gave me some information, provided me. But she is the only one. She was in Washington. You mean to tell me my local government officials couldn't do anything, couldn't send an email response? I just don't believe
it. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And the local officials act like they don't even have to respond to us. Like, you know, we don't even exist or something. And it's really alarming to me. It really bothers me when they do that. I get real upset when they do that to me. I start rallying and marching and protesting and all kinds of stuff when you don't answer me. Just answer me. And we'll sit up there and we'll settle a whole lot of stuff and don't have to do all the rallies and stuff. But, you know, in your nephew's case, I'm praying and hoping that somebody even listening now would consider the fact that just let the man out. The Department of Corrections don't have the money nor the medical attention that needs to be done to Kevin Key Harrington. They don't have it. The Department of Corrections has already told them, look, we don't have the facility, we don't have the equipment, we don't have the medical doctors and all that experience and all to take care of this man the way he needs to be taken care of. And it's a tremendous expense upon us. So please, you know, we recommend to let this man go out on a medical conditional release. Why they're doing it, your mother seems to say that it's a retaliation and all that, I understand that. But if you're willing to sit there and take a lawsuit of him dying, because that's what they set themselves up for, and I hate to tell you this, Professor Key, lo and behold, your nephew dies in prison. I'm going to be the main one want to push y'all to sue them, to the parole board, for not releasing him after the Department of Corrections requested and recommended a medical release. There's some other people that's on there that need to be speaking. All of your mics are open.
Peggy Harris.
So they could come.
Peggy Harris. If Peggy Harris is on there.
Go ahead, Ms. Peggy Harris, are you there? I'm trying to see if she's there, Ms. Deborah.
513, the 513 number.
No, ma'am, I don't see her number on there. I see another 863 number. I got the 813, that is Professor Key. And the 813,
no, the 813,
okay,
is that Beverly?
813-748?
Yeah, that's Beverly.
Okay, and I got an 863-547.
That's me.
Yeah.
Okay,
now the
and
813,
then I
think the 813 lady needs to talk.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Beverly. We're waiting on you. You're live on Tops Radio. And I have an 863-307.
Yeah, the Ms. Beverly is from Tampa.
The 8307.
Ms. Beverly, are you there?
I'm telling
Ms.
you,
Beverly,
I haven't been called back.
You can see what they're on the line, but evidently they can hear you, but you can't hear them when they speak. Because I had to hang up and dial back in.
Oh, okay. Well, tell them
so
the
they may have
they
to hang up
and back in. Yeah, well, they can call back in because I got it up now. So we running mobile now. We're running pretty good. We still up. We dropped down to about 92 callers, and we're looking pretty good. But a person just asked me a question, Ms. Deborah. They wanted to know what was his charges. What is the charges of Kevin Key Harrison? That's what I just got requested on the chat line.
Okay. His charge that they said that he jumped on him and his mama, jumped on this guy. This guy told him that they jumped on him. That was his original charge. He jumped on him.
It was battery.
And,
it was battery.
Battery, okay.
It was battery,
okay.
And burglary,
okay.
Because they say he kicked in the door. So they considered when he kicked in the door as a burglary. So it's battery,
okay.
And burglary.
And then, yes, but he did not do that. They have the witnesses that said that they saw the people do it, and they wouldn't even go, the lawyer wouldn't even go and speak to him. I gave him the name and everything of the guys right there in the jail, and they never did go and do anything about it. And then every time I would call him, because he's a vegetarian, every time I would call them for him to get him something to eat, they would give him another charge, the same as they did me in one day. They brought three charges in one day. They went from one to three.
Yeah, remember, that's when they came back and gave him a charge of a convicted felon with a gun and attempted murder. That's when they came back and gave him those two charges, saying that the same guy said that he shot him. But he had
he
already
shot
told somebody else that he don't know who shot him. He was high down in the drug area, and when the person came up, it was in the dark. They shot him. He threw his hand up, and the bullet went through his hand, but he didn't see who shot him. But he just said it was Kelvin because he knew that him and Kelvin had a previous encounter. But he did not see who shot him. He just said it was him.
No, Miss Key. They didn't have an encounter. He said
that it
was
Kelvin.
That's
what he said. He said, yeah, that's what he said. He said, remember he tried to put that whole kick in the door in on him. He said, so that's why he thought it was him.
Okay, yeah, okay. There you go.
Yeah, he was saying that, but he never saw.
Yeah, he was saying that.
Right, that's what he was saying. But we all know he proved the lie over and over again.
Yes, he did. And it wasn't even him that was there that knocked the door.
Exactly.
Corinne. Yes. They just have the whole thing mixed up, and they didn't want to be corrected. They knew that they had arrested the wrong person. That's why Jose Baez told him that day what he said about that bullying charge. You need to go back to the school and send your officers back to school too, because they just arrest people and don't even find out what's going on. The same as they done me, the same way. What would they arrest me for? But they did, on hearsay, and had to throw all of it out just because they wanted to shatter my name.
Well, one of the things that we need to announce is what we'll be doing. We're asking each and every person. We're going to put it online, and we're going to ask all of you that are listening now. I know 98 people are listening, if not more. We're going to ask you now. We're going to put it on Facebook. We're going to put it on Twitter. We're going to put it everywhere. We're asking you now to help us send a letter to the Florida Parole Board requesting and asking for Kevin Key Harrington to be get a conditional medical release, and that's what we're asking and requesting. We're going to set it up. We're going to put up a website and all that. Dennis has already said that he's going to start looking into it. We're going to get everybody to start looking into it and try to do that, Ms. Deb. Before we get ready and go and start in the line, 863-547, that's Professor Key. 863-307, you're still open if you want to say something. 863-748, and then 11111, our spy of the day. Your mic is open as well. If you would like to say something, since you dialed in on Skype, if you would like to say something, please speak. Is there anybody else that would like to say something before we get ready to close our show for the day? All right, Ms. Deborah, it's left up to you and Professor Key. What would like to be your last and final words?
My last and final words is that we pray that we will get justice
at Polk County for the entire county here, for everyone, and that we will pray that they will listen and adhere to our call.
And my last request is that I pray that the state attorney's office would not look at his criminal history and base his release on his medical history.
Está bien? Está bien?
Yeah, go ahead.
And that's all. That's all. I pray that they would look at his medical history and not his criminal history and release him on medical
history. One of the things that we have to realize is that, and I tell people this, and another thing I wanted to wait to the end of the show to tell you, if we don't get no answers back by next week, by next Wednesday, Ms. Deborah, next Wednesday, Professor Keith, next Thursday we're having the rally right there in Washington, right there in front of the White House. And we will be there. I will be there myself. And we are going to take it to Washington ourselves. I'm going to need every letter. I'm going to need everything that you ask for in order for me to put it out there, in order for me to give it to them. We'll be up there with CCC, Community Change. We'll be there with Darcy Nunn. We'll be there with Daryl Atkinson. We'll be there with the formerly incarcerated convicted people movement steering committee, the national leaders over the formerly incarcerated convicted people movement that I helped found with Darcy Nunn. And we will be in Washington doing this rally for Ban the Box, and we're going to push and we're going to promote and we're going to give to those that are there with us a real, real printout. I need you, Professor Key, to give me a portfolio, maybe a 1 or 2 pages, that we can hand out to everybody when we get to Washington next week. And that's what I'm going to do for you and what I'm going to try to do for Kevin. Hopefully, we will have Kevin out and we will hear something from Professor Keith, from your emails that you have sent out. You will get a response, and we won't have to do that. But if not, next Wednesday, next Thursday, we will be in Washington, and we will deliver it to their doorsteps ourselves. This is Pastor Kenneth Sharpe, Glasgow, and this is TOPS, the Ordinary People Society Radio. And this is where the people talk about their issues. The people say it themselves. And nobody conducts it. Nobody edits it. Nobody tells you or constricts you on what to say. We've been live today with Professor Keith and also with Deborah Thompson Ingram, who's an icon, a civil rights leader in her own right. Metro News, look for it in your neighborhood, a national newspaper that's going to tell you exactly what's going on, the truth, nothing but the truth, so help us, God. Look for it in your neighborhood. But if you have anyone that's incarcerated, that's in jail, that you feel like injustice has happened, then you need to get in touch with me, or you need to get in touch with Ms. Deborah. Ms. Deborah, you want to give them some contact information for yourself. And we also need you, while you're getting in touch with us, to tell us about your problem. We need you to help us with Kevin Key Harrington. We need you to write letters. We need you to call your legislators. We need you to send letters to Obama and to the Florida Parole Board. We need a medical release, conditional release for Kevin Key Harrington. He is suffering right now from pancreatic cancer, and he needs to be released. They released the murderer. Can't they release this man who hasn't killed anyone? Ms. Deborah, you want to give him some information to get in touch with you, please?
Yes. If they would send the letters, they can email them at Latonya, LATONNJA, at AOL.com. That's L-A-
And you want to repeat that again?
LATONNJA at AOL.com.
All right. And we want to thank you so much, Ms. Deborah. We thank you for all the work that
you
have put in over the years, helping us and keeping us from going to jail. Now is the least we could do is try to help you with your own child, with your own grandson, and try to get him out on his medical conditional release. Go ahead, Ms.
Yes,
Deborah.
And we thank you too, because you didn't have to do that. Just like you say, you're just ordinary people, just doing ordinary things. And
but the
I like that.
But
thing.
Don't thank me yet, Miss Deborah. Don't thank me yet, Professor Keith. Thank me yet. Wait till we go to Washington next week. I hope somebody is listening right now. I hope they respond to you. Because, you know, like I told you when I was down there, I climbed trees. And I'm climbing them got tall Washington Capitol steps, too. And I'm going up there to find out why nobody responded and what we could do about your nephew. That's what you were saying, Miss Keith.
I sure appreciate it. And I'm going to hold my thank you to the end.
All right, then. God bless you all. This is the ordinary.
God bless you, and I appreciate you, too.
All right. Dr. Kenneth Glasgow coming to you with Deborah Thompson and Professor Key. We're talking about Kevin Key. Suppose it was your loved one. Oh, don't sit up there and act like it ain't coming and knocking on your door. I've had plenty of people that sit up there and try to tell me, well, I don't have nothing to do with that. I don't have nothing to do with this. And then the next week, it be their grandson. It be their daughter, their son. And then they come back and say, can we get your help? Well, you can get my help now. Help yourself by helping someone else. This is Dr. Kenneth Glasgow signing out to you. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen.
Okay, you too, sir. Thank you so very much. Bye-bye.